This is Luscious Lou, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate. If you love comics, you'll be into it. Listen to the Comic Syndicate. If movies make you contemplate, just science will accommodate. Twitter for communication, at Comic Syndicate 1. I was drowning in a sea of podcasts, and I found the one I need at long last. Book reviews, the news, and sex facts. It's more than anyone can ask for. The Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 344. I'm your host, Josiah Sapp, for the villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. All right, guys, I got a little bit of a story, but we'll save that for a bit. This one we're going to hit like we normally do, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. This one was recorded January 16th, 2019. Episode 244 was entitled, hashtag, Rain Delay. This week at For the Villain hits what we spoke about 100 episodes ago and reminisces over some old topics, goes into short bullet points, then rolls some comic talk, comic news, The Grinch vs. Home Alone, saw writers rebooting Final Destination 2, more Mission Impossible movies coming soon, John Wick 3 Parabellum trailer debut date, Sony's Masters of the Universe, Mary Poppins sequel at Disney, Amazon to launch free IMDb streaming service, Netflix to raise prices, Captain Marvel early numbers, Spider-Man Far From Home first trailer chat, Avengers Endgame 100 day countdown, Plastic Man and Blue Beetle movie news for DC Extended Universe, and then hits the top best-selling graphic novels for 2018, then finally rocks some comic reviews, Marvel Comics, Venom, Web of Venom, Unleashed. Ryan Stegman was the writer on that one. He's normally an artist, yet I believe this one was his first story he's written. And Kyle Hotz was the artist for that one. A week later, Thursday, January 24th, 2019, I believe back then I realized, like, fuck, Josias, you can't juggle this much and record two shows a week, you fucking psycho. So that's when I started breaking up, dropping two episodes in 1 week, two different episodes, to one show a week. At least I was putting out content is the way I looked at it. But yeah, that's the way I wrote it. January 24, 2019, episode 244.1 was Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. Hashtag O-Ship. This one was fucking dope. The Comic Syndicate proudly brings you another episode of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes this week. RG Floors and at For the Villain jump into the deep end of cruise ships. Join us as we dive, as we go over where this spark came from, as we deep dive how many people go missing a year on a cruise ship or on cruise ships, along with rules and regulations for cruise vessels. We crunch actual numbers and give our own thoughts on Man Overboard, which was MOB cases, along with statistics for each cruise liner. Why do passengers go overboard? What can you do if you fall overboard? Which authorities are involved after these cases are reported? Find out here. This one was a bit morbid and gnarly, but please let us know how you feel as we get the cobwebs out of our system. Reach out to us on social media, blah, 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 blah. This one was a dope fucking episode, guys. I swear it was fucking dope. Now, I'm normally a big research guy. When I do record the deep dives and rabbit holes, it's a lot of work that goes into it. I don't think a lot of people understand that, even though I you know, speak about it when I do go into the deep dives and rabbit holes. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of research. It's a lot of pulling strings. It's a lot of going down different looks, sites, links, sites. This one in particular, dude, I came across nautical rules and regulations. Actually legit nautical rules, regulations, and I came across a site that as soon as I jumped on, it said you do not have the clearance or authority to be here. You are being monitored, and I'm like, fuck me. I legit freaked out, like, oh, fuck, delete, backspace, get out of here, get out of here. Weird and gnarly. Now, because of going into this particular deep dives and looking legit for stats, numbers, deaths, cause of deaths, I ended up on a weird nautical fucking site. It was a marine site. It was like a submarine site. But anyways, I don't recall exactly what it was, but it was along those lines and very weird, very cool, very scary too, though. So these ones are always fun to do. Now, I think behind the show, this was probably a good story to tell on the show, literally, as I'm bringing this information to the table. And RG's like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, do you remember the site? I'm like, no, dude. Like, I literally jump from site to site, literally making sure everything's secure. I go on the right sites. I try not to hit any fucked up links. So this one was not a fucked up link. I just ended up somewhere I was not supposed to be. But that's what was fucking cool about it too, because it gave me a story to share on top of, you know, what I brought to the table. Now, this one was a two-parter. Again, the numbers, the stats, was interesting to me. You guys never have to listen to the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes podcast in any particular order. You can jump in cold on any episode, even when there are two-parters or three-part shows. You can jump in on any show and it's always going to make sense. It's, I like to call it water cooler talk. Things you can talk to anybody about, random topics at any given moment if the conversation comes up. Or even say, dude, I heard this random fact on a podcast I listened to. But anyways, yeah, so those are always fun to do. Let's see, where do we want to go next? Bullet points. Okay, well, we're going to hit bullet points, then I'm going to go into the story. Retro Gaming Con 2024 is in Pasadena. Now, I have not been to a gaming convention proper since the GameStop Expo, fuck me, 2015, maybe. Got in as media with Adam. Great convention. I'm more of a casual gamer now. Now, listening to the Comics and Thor DS podcast, they mentioned this Retro Gaming Con, and I believe Ben normally goes. I put in for my media passes, and they snapped me up fucking like that. Like, yes, we would love to have you cover our event as media press. We, you know, we will hook you up. So I'm looking forward to this one. That one's going to be in July. Now, I say that to say this. WonderCon 2024 is this Friday, March 29th through the 31st. This one, I normally, dude, not going to lie, all the time. Since I started recording with Adam, is we always got media passes to this one, to the Long Beach Comic Con, Los Angeles Comic Con. We always got in for media. Now, talking to the guys on the side, the Comics and Tortillas crew on the side, I had hit them up like, can you believe this shit? WonderCon hasn't got back to me yet about my media passes. And I, again, believe it was Ben who said something like, okay, they know somebody, an owner of a comic book store, he normally gets in as a, not a previewer, but he has his own booth and he's able to sell, you know, his comics, whatever he's selling. Normally trade paperbacks for great, great money and, or deals. And he's like, yeah, dude, homeboy hasn't even got his credentials yet either. And this was probably like 2 weeks ago. I emailed them last Friday and I'm like, you guys have not received a confirmation yet. I know the past few years I've always been approved. Would it be possible to give me a status update on this? Didn't want to be a dick. Didn't want to be that dude. I have off requested from the office and from the second job for this Friday. Still have yet to hear from them. Now it's Wednesday. March 27th, 2024. The time and dates are going to make sense in a bit. Okay. Okay. So that's it. That's how I'm looking. So now it's Wednesday proper. I'm recording this on my lunch break. Now, I'm probably going to email them one more time today. I do have the day off again from both jobs. If I don't hear anything, probably not going to go, unfortunately. Like, I can go. Like, I have the day off. Like, I can purchase, you know, tickets and hop in. Or I can take the day off for Josias to have a Josias day. Number one, sleep the fuck in. Probably do some work. Work on a deep dives and rabbit holes for next week, perhaps. Because I'm going to be in Vegas next week for my sister's birthday and her boyfriend's birthday and homegirl's birthday. So we're going to be in Vegas and looking forward to that. That's going to be Wednesday through Friday next week. Now, it gives me the day, Friday, if I don't go as media, to work. And legit, number one, sleep in. but work on a podcast for next week as a filler, but have it be a new show as well for you guys. Okay. The dates are going to make weird sense. I recorded this show, episode 344, on Sunday. I recorded it late night. I did all the editing, so it was complete, ready. It's on a file ready to get put up. Now, the story is, I did not want to turn anyone off. The big thing in the news last week was the Bill Skarsgård, the Crow trailer. And there was a huge divide. most of my friends agree with me. It does not look good. Now, the few people I spoke to that say it looks fantastic and I can't wait for it are a sour group. Now, the show I initially put out was not attacking anybody at all, like at either side. Like, number one, I'm a fan of The Crow, and this is what I said on the initial show. I'm a huge fan. Now, if Eric Draven is going to be incarcerated, okay, cool, I guess. Doesn't make sense. It's not his makeup that also turns me off at all. Kind of like he's the thug that he did get incarcerated. If you're not going to go the goth slash emo route like Brandon Lee did portray proper, maybe make him a punker at least, which none of that, like the trailer to me doesn't look great and or fantastic. Now, again, there's a huge divide. Mostly people are on the fence, like, this looks terrible. I'm open-minded about it for sure. Like, I'm not going to judge the movie because I haven't seen it, obviously, but a lot of people are already, oh, I'm going to watch this. It looks so good. And there's the divide. Now, the few percentile of people that thinks it looks great, fantastic, and they're blowing the movie already, it doesn't look good to me. Now, that's just my personal opinion. Now, everything, all these are always subjective. Like, dude, we each have our opinions. You can be right. I can be right. You can be wrong. I can be wrong. Like that's the way we have to look at it. Just because you think something looks great. And again, I didn't drop last week's episode because I didn't want any people in particular to think that I was attacking them. So I'm like, fuck, dude, like, I don't want to turn off any listeners. Like that's what it is. I'm always the middle ground person, and I don't want anyone to feel like I'm being exclusive, you know, to one side. Because I am very open-minded. Like, he looks like Jared Leto, Joker, and I didn't like that. And honestly, Jared Leto as the Joker sucked. And that being said, to piggyback that, Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker looked great, but it was a terrible fucking movie. Like, that's being subjective as well. Like, it was not a good fucking movie. A lot of people were blowing that movie, saying how great it is, but it's not a Joker movie. It's not a Joker origin movie. It's not a DC Comics movie. All those, it's under that banner, but if we're looking at it proper, no, because the Joker's origin had not been written by that point, and they're still writing his origin right now as we speak. And a lot of people got upset. This is the best Joker movie ever. It's not the Joker, but okay. And Martin Scorsese got behind it, and he hates comic book movies. What I'm saying is everything is subjective. Now, just because my opinions were the Joker movie sucked and somebody loved it, dude, congratulations, that's great. And we can disagree. That's completely fine. But the people that will fight for it because it's the best thing ever, even when it's really not, it is funny to me. And people get so offended by these things that we should be able to talk about. Because just because you don't agree with me, like, let's have a conversation about it. Why, you know, don't put me on mute or hold or whatever because I don't agree with you. number one, I guess one of my friends, Sarah from the No, Not Another One podcast, I explained to her, hopefully she understands this, is what I told her was, I have a summer movie draft every year with my friends. And the way we always look at movies is, are you willing to be there and pay for a movie opening weekend? Now, that being said, I'm not going to be there opening weekend for this movie in particular. But also to piggyback that, the example I gave her was I wanted to see Oppenheimer in the movie theater opening weekend. I wanted to see it during its theater, the whole theatrical run for the most part. I did not have the time to do that. I saw it finally when it was streaming, and it's a fucking great, fantastic, killer fucking movie. And it's a Nolan movie, and it's just a great fucking movie. I wish I still would have seen it in theaters. So just because I didn't see it in theaters doesn't mean it sucks, right? Like, it can still be a great movie. And when I finally do watch The Crow, whether it be streaming like I did Oppenheimer, or even if I'm there opening weekend, or maybe fucking a month into the theatrical run, I can finally watch it with fresh eyes and say, okay, that was a good movie, or wow, that was a really, really bad movie. Either way, by that point, it's still fucking subjective, guys. So just very interesting. Now, I'm not attacking Sarah at all, but you know, these are the interactions I've had, because Charlie from work is huge, like, this looks bad. And I told her, I love Bill Skarsgård. Like, maybe it's going to be a good movie. We don't know. So she's on the fence of, again, the majority of people thinking this looks terrible. So, again, the divide is very interesting and odd and just fucking funny to me. So that was a story on why this is happening again. The recap, the retelling of this episode. Because I literally was going to put the show out on Monday, honestly. That Sunday night, as I was editing, Alex from the second job, we were texting back and forth as I was editing the show. And recorded, edited, put a beginner bumper in between the intro or to start off the show. And then went through the show. And Monday I was going to put it out. Monday was working with Alex and his sister, Charlie, and he's asking me, like, did you put the show up yet? I'm like, no, dude, I still got to write the synopsis, which I'm probably going to do tonight and put up tonight, so Monday night. And Alex, I was almost going to send you a link to the show. And by the way, guys, let me apologize because it's been a while since I've recorded during the day on my lunch break from the office. And of course, there's going to be the blower outside, the dude doing yard work outside my house. So my apologies for the sound, but I don't have a lot of time to work on this. But I wanted to be concise and on my thoughts and opinions and ideals. Back to Alex, I was going to send you a link on the show, and I was going to ask you, dude, can you listen to this and let me know if this sounds bad or if I'm attacking anyone. And I got home that night and I'm like, well, fuck it. Let's just listen to it. And I'm going to save it. I'm probably never going to play it and I'm never going to share it. Honestly, it's episode 244. It's saved in my archive already. Now, I listened to just the beginning intro and I'm like, this motherfucker sounds fucking passionate. Like, so kudos to me. And then when I got to the part where it was the Crow talk, I wasn't sour, but again, the passion fucking, I was fucking flowing. And in my opinion, it kind of sounded like if you were on the side of this movie looks great, I can't wait to watch it. It sounded like I was attacking that, which is not what I wanted to do at all. Am I eventually going to watch the movie? Yes. Do I have faith in Bill Skarsgård? Sure. He hasn't let me down so far. I like his movies. Do we had to call him Eric Draven is kind of where I'm looking at it too. Like, I mean, there are so many embodiments of the Crow. There are so many people that can take the mantle of the Crow. It didn't necessarily have to be Eric Draven. You know, that's where I'm coming from. And don't get me wrong, the movie just doesn't look great to me. I'm not going to be there opening weekend. That should not offend anyone. If I was going to offend anyone, or if I wanted to attack just that group of people, granted, small group of people, I would have put out the original episode 244, and listening to that, it sounded like, again, very passionate Josias, and I'm a very passionate dude anyways. It sounded honestly like I was attacking a small group, and I didn't want anyone to feel offended or like I was attacking them, one person singularly, you know, straight out. Like, I know That wasn't the case at all. It was literally fighting for a point. Like, it's subjective, guys. Like, it's just subjective. Why are you getting so fucking sour? Same thing with the Snyder Superman movies. You know, like, it's the same thing. We can have a conversation. A lot of people do like it. A lot of people don't like it. Guess what? It's okay. Like, it's okay. The conversation is the better part. An aspect of it we should look at it as. So, again, listening to that one, I didn't want anyone to feel bad or like I was attacking them. So this is my second chance to, you know, mend the fences, I guess. And I'm glad no one heard it because, again, I didn't want anyone to feel bad like I was attacking them. And that's never where I want to come from. So, okay, that's bullet points. Yeah, that's all I got, dude. So this is my retelling of episode 344. Hope you guys like it. Usual suspects. I did mention Alex, Eric Lopez. I got to hit you up, homie. I know you just messaged me right now. Andrew Lewis, thank you for the fucking songs. I love that. I'm going to share them next week, possibly. And please find my boys at the Comics and 30S podcast, Adam Garza, Hector Cornejo, and Ben Davis. You can find them anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Find the Root Street podcast. And like I mentioned, Sarah, the Oh No, Not Another One, hosted by Sarah Kitsinitz and Derek Krentz. These are all podcasts I listen to, friends of the show, and great shows to find. That's all I got to have. Question of the week. Kind of yeah, kind of no. Based on one of the reviews I read, you know what? Yeah, I guess, I'll save it till the end of the show. I know it sounds weird, but it'll make sense when I get there, and I'm running out of fucking time to record this. All right, guys, give me a few, and I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michelle, and we're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Last bit of piggyback is going to be, it's okay to disagree, guys. Like, that's where I'm coming from. I'm wrong. You're wrong. I'm right. You're right. It's okay to have ideas, ideals, opinions, thoughts, emotions about something you dig on. That's pretty much where I'm coming from. All right, let's hit some comic reviews real quick. I don't have news. And again, this might be long. It's going to be a shorter show. But it's going to be, and it's already up for single issue of the year. Now, this is a Marvel Comics title. This is Resurrection of Magneto number 2. Al Ewing's the writer. Luciano Vecchio is the artist. David Curiel and Jesus Abruzzo are the color artists. VC's Joe Sabino is the letterer. Tom Mueller and Jay Bowen are the designers. This one starts off with a mission with Magneto and Namor, and a part of the underwater realm where they now face a witch. After their victory, Magneto was promised an island sort of nation from Namor and then given a key from the witch, where the witch tells him, once you have it, you can never lose it, even in death, until the day it is turned. All the same, keep guard of it, for it is the key to the door of judgment and purification. Magneto says, the door out or the door in? The witch says, turn it and see. Magneto, inner monologue, I did not. I placed that key in a pocket and never touched it more. But I still have it now. I feel its metal. I feel its weight. Then the intro comes in and jumps into scenes and panels now of Magneto and what he's now going through in this sort of limbo slash purgatory. And his inner monologue. And we see him in a bunch of just fucking... He's fucked up. I am in the place of judgment now, but I have not turned that key yet. And no matter the punishment, no matter what I have earned, I will not. I will not compromise for mere discomfort. And from there, it now jumps to, and it shows the progress of more and more issues and things he went through in his own life as a kid growing up, and how dark his life was and how dark his life turned. For me, it wasn't fun. I feel like Magneto 100% in this right now, in these scenes and panels. Like, he's forced to see and relive each of the life he's taken in his own life. Now, that's not the part I relate to. And I'll get into why I relate to it. And it's just pretty heavy conflict that he's facing now. So he's got this lack of faith now that he's lost just throughout the years, you know, his faith. Even from childhood, the way he grew up, you know, surviving the Nazi concentration camps and losing his family and friends. And we just see some great dialogue in it. And we see how deep in his misery he is until he's finally met by his friend that has finally arrived. Aurora. So Storm shows up. And this friend aspect, I really enjoyed their conversation. Him going through this sort of hell and torment that he feels he's condemned to. And he now wants to see through to the end. Like, there's a bunch of walls, and each wall has the names of people he's killed, or that people that have killed in his name for his cause, quote unquote. And this conversation now is just great, you know, explaining to Storm now how they all fucked up, and how he also fucked up, and how serious he's taking it now. And in an odd way, you know, she's telling him, like, dude, you're good, you know, like, come on, come with me, we need to save the world. And he's like, no, I'm good here, like, I'm fine with this, you know. And she finally tells him what's happened since he's been gone, since he's been dead, living this life in torment now, and not just mental torment, but like sad or depressed, you know, and just being in this sort of hell. And she tells him what happened at the Hellfire Gala, like, all, you know, the death, the assault, the attack, everything, all the deaths that happened with the mutants, and what's been happening since he's been gone / dead. And the way Magneto looks at it and tells her, fuck, this is fucked up. He's telling her, no, I did so many bad things. I have to live my life here. Like this is what I did. So he's coming to terms with everything that's transpired, and what he has to do now is live his life in this sort of misery. I guess that's the relatable part to me, because there was a bad part of Josias a long time ago, and just felt very home to me. I read number 3, so this one starts off, you know, Resurrection of Magneto number 3 starts off with the standoff now between Storm and an old X-Men villain, the Shadow King. And Shadow King tries to use mind tricks on her that she sees right through, and they start get scrapping. Meanwhile, we get where Magneto has been sent to, and it's also him dealing with Shadow King. And Shadow King is trying to use Professor X to manipulate him. So we see both characters going through this battle, but each in their own mental state type of way, which I really enjoyed. And even though Storm is battling, straight up fighting, going through this subconscious kick, we see Eric Magneto is getting attacked for his old ways and his old ways of thinking. Again, this is why I think this comic was so relatable for me, because I still get judged on a lot of the past things I've done. And I'm never going to claim I'm an angel, and I'm not an angel now. You know, like, I can come to terms, and I have come to terms with how bad I was. I'm glad I'm not that Josias anymore, but I needed that Josias to become the Josias I am today, if that makes sense to anyone. You know, I had to go through that pain. I had to go through that depression, that dark point of my life, to get through the light at the end of the tunnel and exit that fucking tunnel a different person. And that's why it's relatable to me. I hope you guys can understand that. So again, I you know, these ones, especially number 2, was book of the year candidate already. So again, just using all this past guilt against Magneto, and I really, yeah, I guess based on that, it is, I've been listening to all 3 of Metallica's Unforgiven songs. And I know it's weird. You're like, what do you mean 3? There's only 2. And maybe, you know, that's the question of the week. Should I give homework out this week? Okay, there's a line in Unforgiven 3. How can I blame you when it's me I can't forgive? Now, again, a lot of people know there's Unforgiven 1, Unforgiven 2. The Black Album was Unforgiven 1. A beautiful, great song. A song I grew up with in high school off of the Black Album. I really enjoy the guitar lick in Unforgiven 2. I really love the fuck out of the lyrics in Unforgiven 3. I guess that's the homework, is if you guys can find Unforgiven 1, Unforgiven 2, and Unforgiven 3, listen to those 3 songs back to back. Like, the first one is pretty much guilt, self-guilt, so Unforgiven 1. Unforgiven 2, I guess the best way to look at it is now I'm kind of over-blaming myself for shit. You're just like me, and you've done some shit in your life too, so don't judge me. And then number 3, Unforgiven 3, is more the acceptance. And I guess more of a depressive state, very alone, very loner vibe to it. And that's where that line comes into play. And I guess that's the question of the week. Have you guys heard the all three Unforgivens from Metallica? And after listening to those, which one is your favorite? I know, weird. Single issue of the year. Okay, so last week I read 2 back-to-back single issues of the year. This one is another nomination already as well. This is going to be a DC Comics title. Nightwing number 111. Tom Taylor's the writer. Sammy Bistri is the artist. Vicente Caifuentes is the inker. Adriano Lucas is the colorist. Wes Abbott is the letterer. So it starts off with Batman's inner monologue of all things. So, I mean, it's a Nightwing title, but it starts off with inner monologue from Batman. And him reaching a crime in Gotham City now. And as he shows up, he knows the killer is still around, so he comes through with this crime scene. And as he's about to attack, he realizes there's just this scared little boy that's hiding. And this one starts just seeing the boy. Brings back so many memories to Batman. Of his own experiences, of his own pain, of witnessing Dick Grayson's parents die. He was there at the circus that day. Bruce Wayne. Also seeing another young boy that was also alone, you know, and these pages, panels just show this are really, really great. Even as he's getting like memories of Alfred when Bruce took a young kid in, so Dick Grayson in, when he was a kid, and even Alfred telling him like, the kid's scared, you should read to him. And Bruce says, but he's already a smart kid, he's reading at an advanced level. Like, he's well-read, like, I don't need to. And Alfred's like, just read to him. You don't know how much that's going to affect helping this fucking kid out. So very cool. The panels and pages of this are great. And now Batman calls Oracle and asks her to contact Nightwing. And he, Nightwing, happens to already be in Gotham City. Now, he's happening to be using Barbara's shower. And he's like, what do you mean he's out of the shower? Yeah, and Batman's like, okay, I get it, don't worry about it. So once Nightwing finally arrives, Batman says, and this is his inner monologue, Dick Grayson, Alfred once described him as my greatest success. And Nightwing shows up. I think your problem moved to cities. Heartless is the name of Nightwing's new villain. Because Alfred was always too generous. I had to remind him that he was ours, the boy we raised together. Nightwing now starts off. There's only been one known heartless killing since Blockbuster. Batman. B's father. I heard. If you see her, Nightwing says, I'll pass on your condolences. Batman. Thank you. Will you be seeing B? I don't mean to judge. And still Batman. Nightwing says, judging shows you care. It's appreciated. Like, this dude is the only person, Nightwing, Dick Grayson is the only one that can talk to Batman and Bruce this way, very heart to heart, and as friends. Like, I mean, granted, the relationship, friendship between Diana, so Wonder Woman, and even Clark Kent, you know, their relationship and friendship and the way they interact together has gotten so much better throughout the years. But Nightwing, Dick Grayson, Dick is the only one that can talk to him in a particular way. So even the next scenes now, Batman and Nightwing going to visit the boy is now just very cool. So even without any reluctancy, Batman gives Nightwing the steering wheel to talk to the boy. He's like, the boy's scared. I freaked him out. You got to talk to him. And it's cool. Just once Nightwing walks in, and this is like, this is at a police department, so. They're in the interrogation room, so the Batman's able to see the boy interact with Nightwing. So as soon as Nightwing walks in, the boy is just so happy to see him. He runs up and gives Nightwing a hug. And it's cool, once they start chatting, they start playing some video games together. And it's just really beautiful to see this interaction and Nightwing talking to this boy. As the boy's guardian uncle finally arrives. And he's like, Nightwing says, "You're not close." The man says, "Not really. I have no idea what I'm going to do with him." Nightwing, "He'll probably be afraid. A lot. Afraid of the dark, of strangers, of unfamiliar places. He'll need comfort, routine, reassurance. Do you have enough to support him?" The man says, he does. His parents were wealthy. Nightwing says, "Good. You have to be everything for him. For the next bit, you have to be the security he's lost. And read him stories. In my experience, that helps." And again, as Batman is watching all of this interaction with Nightwing and the boy named Eco and the boy's uncle. So it's just, again, very cool the way the page is set up, where we see Batman understanding Bruce, seeing like, fuck, dude, like I helped him out. So very cool. So after this, Batman and Nightwing now go over what they just learned, trying to find this killer, about this new villain that's been after Nightwing. And Nightwing says, "Something about this doesn't feel right. I want to examine the body." Batman says, "I can get into the coroner's office," as he shoots his grappling hook and into the building. And Nightwing simply says, "I can't jump. Something's going on with me. I've been afraid of heights. I've started freezing, panicking." Batman says, "When did it start?" Nightwing, "A few weeks ago. It's worse now." Batman answers, "Why didn't you tell me?" Nightwing, "When would I have told you? In the middle of a turf war, or when you were turned into a wolf?" "You can still swing if you want to." Batman, and it's just fucking funny, he has hands, arms still up in the air with his grappling hook. He's like, "We'll take the stairs." And I just love the pages. It's fucking cool. So Nightwing says, "We need to talk to Eco again and ask him for a detailed description to see if there are any discrepancies." Batman answers, "It's 3 a.m. and he's lost his father today." Nightwing says, "You're right. This can wait till morning. Let him sleep." And the way the title ends is fucking weird, fucked up, cool, and more fucked up and gnarly and sad, honestly. So as Batman's inner monologue now finishes the title, Batman says, and as we see pages of what's going on while this dialogue goes off, as Batman's inner monologue goes off, we see what's happening, and it's fucked up. And Batman says, "These cases are the hardest ones, the ones that steal all of Dick's focus. Nightwing won't rest. He'll investigate all night, and he knows that no matter what we do, we can't save them all." And I won't spoil how sad or fucked up the scenes are of what's going down with the boy as this monologue goes off, but it's just fucked up in a weird way, but I love the storytelling aspect of it. So I do love it, and this one, for the sake of the Batman and Nightwing and Batman seeing Nightwing grow up, is cool. And, you know, yes, he helped raise Dick Grayson, but Dick Grayson is his own man. It's very cool. So I really enjoyed that. Last one is, no, that's all I got. Okay, good. Wow, I could have asked so many different questions there on that one for question of the week. The whole beginning threw me off a little bit as far as having to record this show for a second time. And even when I recorded it, the question of the week was still the same. But I guess based on the past two reviews, so Nightwing growing up, learning about himself, Batman watching Nightwing grow up, Dick Grayson grow up, and become the person he is now, Magneto starting off as a villain and making amends for his ways, and he's an anti-hero slash hero now, and has been for quite a while now. Even though now he's having to confront all the bad things he's done and being comfortable, like, you know, fuck it, dude, I had a good run, like, I'm cool, like, and he's literally touching the walls with everyone's names, hundreds of thousands of fucking names, like, these walls are never ending. And he's got blood coming out of his eyes, and he's reading each name and trying to memorize each name, and every time he reads someone's name, he relives the person and how they died in Magneto's name or for what he did. And I guess that's the question of the week, because Storm tells him, you know, after and I believe it was in issue number 3 of Resurrection of Magneto, she tells him, like, you know, I know you feel terrible for all this you did. And again, walls, 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 walls. of everyone that's died because of Magneto. She goes, but you forgot to look at that wall over there. Those are the people you fucking helped to, guy. You know? So, like, look around. Like, even though you did bad, like, these, there's still a list of names that of people you helped and that are living because of you, asshole. So, yeah, very cool. So I guess that's why question of the week, The Unforgiven. Like, I was listening to it a few weeks ago, and I was talking to a little lady friend, and it's like, dude, have you ever heard these songs? Or have you ever heard The Unforgiven 3? She's like, I never have heard. I never knew there was an Unforgiven 3. So just going over that with a few people, it's like, and we start listening to 1, 2, and 3, and I love 3 for the lyrics, and I love the music, and I love the piano intro to The Unforgiven 3. Like, I really do. Lyrically, I think it's better. Unforgiven 2, I love because it's more of attacking the other person, you know? Yeah, is the reflection, self-reflection of the good and the bad. And when you get older, you learn about yourself and other people. But mainly, hopefully, you should learn about yourself. And I know this is a cheesy fucking question, and I don't want to make you guys do homework, but yeah, I guess that's the question of the week, dude. Kind of random, actually completely fucking random, but they just happen to go with the story that I read. And again, two of these three stories are single issues of the year that are going to – you're going to hear about them towards the end of the year again. All right, guys. I don't know if I'm going to WonderCon in 2 days. I'm going to email WonderCon probably when I come back from lunch. Geez, I still got to edit this real quick. All right, guys, share the podcast, find the podcast, rate us, share us, like us. Yeah, hit me up anywhere you guys can find podcasts. You guys rock, and I will catch you guys next week. Peace out.